Welcome to the Right Take Podcast, news, ideas, and conversations at the intersection of politics and culture, a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. I will be your host, Mark Tapson.
Greetings and welcome back to the Right Take Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Tapson. As I record this, we are right on the cusp of Christmas in the year of our Lord 2025. It's the most wonderful time of the year, as the song goes. It should be a time of peace on earth, goodwill to men, when we gather close to loved ones and celebrate our blessings and the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, even most Christians get caught up in the commercial spirit of the holiday, scrambling up to the last minute, shopping and wrapping presents and attending parties and gaining about 10 pounds from all the eggnog and gingerbread cookies. That's understandable and forgivable, as long as we don't forget the real reason for the season. But as I wrote recently for Front Page Mag, in some parts of the Western world, especially Europe, Christmas now brings more security headaches than holiday joy. Now, sometimes here in America, we point to the politically correct pressure that Christians feel to downplay the Christ part of Christmas in order to be more inclusive and not offend people of other faiths or no faith. The perfect example is people who want to say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Now, I actually don't have a problem with saying Happy Holidays as long as you're referring to multiple holidays. If you're wishing someone a Happy Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah and Happy New Year's, then it's perfectly fine to say Happy Holidays. But if you're referring specifically to Christmas, then you should say Merry Christmas. Anyway, we call it a war on Christmas sometimes here in the U.S. Some people think that idea is a bit overstated, but there unquestionably is a war on Christmas, or more specifically on Christianity, being waged in Europe as the surging Islamization of the continent, formerly known as Christendom, further marginalizes a Christianity that's already in steep decline. With mass Muslim immigration reshaping demographics and importing jihadist violence to the continent, and globalist elites like the European Union leadership prioritizing multiculturalism over traditional European identity, Christian symbols and language are increasingly being sidelined or removed altogether. For example, Christmas markets or celebrations in Europe have been either fully shut down or placed under significantly heightened security measures this year to prevent terror threats like the 2024 Magdeburg attack in Germany, in which a Saudi refugee living there killed 6 people and injured well over 300 others by plowing his car through a Christmas market. This and numerous other past jihadist attacks at Christmas time have made concrete vehicle barriers, armed patrols, surveillance, and in some cases, total cancellations common. Let me give you a couple of examples. France's Interior Ministry has ordered maximum vigilance and enhanced protections for the Strasbourg market, including soldier deployments and additional checkpoints. This follows a very high terror threat level, referencing the 2018 ISIS-inspired attack that killed 5 at the same location, with similar vehicle ramming risks noted across the country. Germany is being hammered by soaring security costs, which are up 44% in the last 3 years. Frankfurt shelled out almost £3.5 million for Christmas market anti-vehicle and crowd protection systems. Dresden has spent nearly £1.5 million on reinforced access protection, mobile vehicle stoppers, and perimeter lockdown equipment. Berlin's iconic Breitscheidplatz market, where a truck was driven through crowds leaving 12 dead in 2016, has paid out £157,000 for private security and protective entry controls. But the war on Christmas in Europe goes beyond just security fortifications into the deliberate dilution of Christian religious identity. Let me give you a couple of examples of that. In France, following the 2018 Strasbourg attack, French officials have accelerated the purge of overt Christianity from holiday events. Cities including Lyon, Marseille, and Toulouse have opted for winter illuminations instead of Christmas lights, or festive markets instead of Christmas markets, devoid of nativity scenes, devoid of midnight masses in public spaces, and devoid even of the word Christmas in official promotions. In England, school carol concerts are being rebranded winter assemblies, and nativity plays are diluted into multicultural fables. This effectively erases the holiday's Christian core, prioritizing the Muslim minority over the historic faith of the majority. In Denmark, since 2011, Danish kindergartens and primary schools have abandoned traditional Christmas celebrations to avoid offending Muslim pupils, who form the second largest religious group there. The result is a hollowed-out tradition that severs ties to Denmark's Lutheran roots, turning Advent into a generic solstice party. In yet another telling example, Berlin will host an upcoming Christmas tour under the slogan Decolonizing Christmas, in which visitors are invited to take a guided tour of a Christmas garden that highlights the, quote, colonial and discriminatory images, unquote, in the Christmas story. Now, I don't know in what conceivable way images from the Christmas story could be deemed colonial and discriminatory, but the obvious intent is the multiculturalist and neo-Marxist deconstruction and destruction of Christian tradition. There's a growing influence of Islamic practices in European schools, such as gender segregation, enforcing wearing a headscarf, or serving halal food. At the same time, there's a movement underway to deinstall Christianity from the culture. Another example, there's an exhibition of shocking blasphemy at a museum in Vienna launched just in time for this holy season. The exhibit features a bearded, trans-identifying Bangladeshi male clearly intended to portray Mary, the mother of Christ, cradling a baby doll. The so-called artwork is titled, I Am the Mother Too. The exhibit includes other blasphemous pieces as well, blasphemous against Christianity, of course, because curiously, none of the artwork targets Islam. Imagine European authorities imposing similar cancellations of Islamic celebrations or traditions, or museums hosting artists who blaspheme against Allah and the Muslim prophet Muhammad. It's unthinkable, and we all know why the European elites and artists dare not do so. The spiritual heart of Christmas, its proclamation of Christ's incarnation, is being quietly buried beneath layers of multicultural euphemisms and security barriers. Christian Europe is dying, not from old age, but from a deliberate political choice. The mass importation of millions whose creed regards the public celebration of Christ's birth as blasphemous. The secular globalist architects of this transformation, the likes of France's Macron, Germany's Merkel, and the European Union's von der Leyen, they've never asked the indigenous peoples of Europe whether they wish to trade peaceful Christmas markets for counterterrorism measures. They simply open the borders, waved through endless streams of military-age males from a culture that considers Christmas a theological insult, and then smeared any citizens who complained of the new diversity as racists and Islamophobes. The message is clear. The public expression of Europe's founding faith is now conditional on the veto power of its newest and most intolerant arrivals. A civilization that must surround celebrations of its Savior's birth with anti-tank barriers and submachine guns has already admitted which religion currently projects the greater confidence, the greater will to power. Islam now appears to be the strong horse, as the famous phrase goes, which advances not just through force, but through the willing abdication of a waning Christian culture. The church bells still ring at Christmas time, but they're beginning to sound like a funeral toll for a continent that has chosen suicide by virtue signaling. Unless the European peoples find the courage to revolt against the anti-European elites, and reverse the policies that have turned Advent into a security perimeter, then this year's canceled markets will become the coming decade's canceled civilization. And let me add something I wrote about just yesterday. In one of the most inane projects ever undertaken by the cultural Marxists who are determined to socially engineer a joyless utopian future based on racial revenge, Brighton and Hove Museums, located on the southern coast of England, are now featuring on their website a page titled Decolonizing Father Christmas, written by the museum's joint head of culture change, Simone Lacourbinière. The blog post addresses the troubling issue that everyone wrestles with each Christmas season, the problematic tale of a white Western Santa who judges all children's behavior. Lacourbinière begins by explaining helpfully that challenging accepted narratives is the point of her culture change project. Now, one would think that museums should be about preserving art and historical artifacts for future generations to experience, understand, and appreciate. But as the woke left see it, the point of a museum should be to reevaluate, reexamine, and reinterpret. And by reinterpret, they mean deconstruct and destroy, because they are brimming with jealousy and hatred for Eurocentric civilization. She goes on to discuss how to update the story of Father Christmas for modern audiences. First of all, Santa's determination of which children get presents based on who was naughty or nice, quote, asks us to accept colonial assumptions of cultural superiority. It doesn't recognize the complex realities that colonized people face. After all, who decided Santa should be the judge of children's behavior in every community? How can he assess, for example, indigenous children practicing their own cultural traditions, unquote? The Santa story, in La Corbinière's view, turns non-Western cultures othered. It says that the colonizer has the power to judge all people. Now hang on, because it gets even more absurd as La Corbinière blasts capitalist slave driver Santa for oppressing his height-challenged employees at the North Pole. She writes, "And what do we say by having an old white man supervise the elves' work? Is it something entirely innocent? Elves are magical, mythical beings completely separate from the real world? Or is there more to it? Are they representative of other groups? How do they reinforce how marginalized groups view not only father figures, but also themselves? Mythical, maybe, but elves are identifiably different to what is often presented as normal, which is white, male, and non-disabled. And in the stories, the different ones make the toys, and the white, non-disabled man supervises them," unquote. Wait a minute. Elves aren't white, male, and non-disabled? As I fondly recall from the classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer TV special of my childhood, there are both boy and girl elves, and none is disabled. The only one who is different is the white, male, non-disabled kid who oddly dreams of being a dentist. Anyway, La Corbinière concludes with a whole sleighful of suggestions for eradicating the whiteness from a white Christmas. For example, have Santa learn about different cultures rather than judge them. Remove Santa rewarding children based on a Western binary of naughty and nice. Focus on bringing joy to kids of all backgrounds rather than judging them. Put Santa to work in the factory alongside the elves. This shows him and the elves as equal. They're not equal. Santa's the boss, and he has the hardest job of anyone at the North Pole, piloting a team of flying reindeer to every rooftop in the world, delivering a bag of presents down the chimney and back up again in the space of a single night. Can any of the elves do that? No. That's why Santa makes the big bucks and runs the show. Simone La Corbinière goes on to say that Santa should be a more diverse character who celebrates cultural exchange and avoids promoting one culture's dominance. Let's get real. If any other culture had a better Christmas tradition than Santa, the West would have adopted it long ago because, hey, we're all about meritocracy. But they don't. And kids all over the world love Santa. It's only miserable, woke scolds like Simone La Corbinière who resent him. And predictably, she had to slip in a jab at the patriarchy. Quote, "Include some mother Christmases, not just father Christmas. Patriarchy and colonialism went hand in hand. Show the next generation that men don't have to be in charge," unquote. Look, I seriously doubt that Mrs. Claus is eager to break the glass ceiling of Santa's workshop and take charge. I suspect she's just fine with the arrangement that she and Santa already have, and Simone La Corbinière can just butt out. This joy-destroying culture change initiative was granted an eyebrow-raising £900,000 of taxpayer cash in October. One member of parliament called it the worst possible use of taxpayer funds and observed that, quote, "At a time of goodwill and festive cheer, it seems woke do-gooders would rather everybody was miserable," unquote. Nailed it. It's impossible for normal human beings to comprehend what it must be like inside the obsessively discontented brains of the woke, like Simone La Corbinière. Imagine Christmas time rolling around, and instead of enjoying the season, the caroling, the glittering decorations, the children's expectation and sense of magic, the joy of giving, instead of enjoying that, all you can think about is deconstructing that tradition, perverting it into something racial and oppressive, and then harassing white people about it. It would be hilariously pathetic if these Scrooges weren't so demonically driven to impose their bah humbug worldview on the rest of us at all costs. Listeners, it's okay to be intolerant of woke intolerance. Reject the civilizational self-loathing of the cultural Marxists and celebrate our glorious traditions. On behalf of all of us here at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, let me just wish you a Merry Christmas to all. And as Tiny Tim put it, God bless us, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to The Right Take if you haven't already. And if you like what you hear, please leave that positive review. See you in 2026.